Welcome to Friendship with God with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor. Today's message and previous messages can be listened to or downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org. Friendshipwithgod.org. You can also obtain free resources from Tom Cantor and view our online bookstore at friendshipwithgod.org or call us at 800-247-3051, 800-247-3051. Tom Cantor also has a daily devotional verse that comes out each day by email and on Facebook. To receive this small daily devotional verse that Tom Cantor puts out, you can sign up at friendshipwithgod.org, friendshipwithgod.org, or find Tom Cantor on Facebook by searching for Tom Cantor and Friendship with God. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor.
So now, the Lord heals this leper by touching him, and when he does that, as I was mentioned from verse 17, he is giving a lesson on how the Lord restores people. He's not restoring people distantly. You know, he's not saying, oh, leprosy, whoa. You know, can you just kind of keep your 3 feet away because that's the travel for a bacteria? And, you know, I'm not going to get, you know, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I don't want to be drained. I don't want to be put in jeopardy. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to be hurt. That's not what he does. The Lord heals the suffering of a person by entering into the suffering of that person. This is what's meant in Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. The care of God goes beyond just him caring for us. It's very personal with him to the point of him being afflicted himself. Wow, God is afflicted? What afflicts God when we're afflicted? When we're afflicted. Judges 10:16, God is saying to Israel, enough with the strange gods, enough with the idols, he says in Judges 10:16. They put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Again, they walked into the sin of idolatry and strange gods. And this it wasn't just God looking at them and saying, ah, oh, there they go again. No, it was and they were in misery because of it. And then it says that God was grieved for their misery. And now, Zechariah 2:8, the Lord now is talking about the nations that gather around Israel and are afflicting Israel. He says in Zechariah 2:8, thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eyes. I mean, anything that touches the center of our eyes, it drives us crazy. There's no way you can ignore that. And this is what God says he feels when anyone touched Israel touches us by extension. In Hebrews 4:15, it describes the kind of high priest that the Lord is. Hebrews 4:15, it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What's so amazing about that verse is the tense of the verb. The verse is not saying that God was touched with the feeling of our infirmity. It's not that God is saying, oh yeah, I remember experiencing something like that, a very horrible, empty feeling. I remember what it felt like when I was betrayed, when I was abandoned, yeah, by Judas. I remember what I felt like when I was forsaken on the cross and all my friends went away. I know exactly what you're feeling today because I remember that happened to me 2,000 years ago. It's not that God says, oh yeah, I remember that sadness of being abandoned by a loved one. I remember that feeling of being hated. Yeah, I know what you're experiencing because I felt that too. If that were the case, then the verb wouldn't be in a different tense. The verb in Hebrews 4:15 would say, we have not a high priest which was not touched in the past with the same feelings of our infirmities that we experience now. If the tense of the verb was in the past, then the Lord could say to us, I know what you're feeling because I experienced that same thing over 2,000 years ago. Still remember it. But because the tense of the verb is in the present, in Hebrews 4:15, it's something like this. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched right now with the feeling of our infirmities. That means the Lord is presently feels what we are going through right now. It's not a case of memory with him. He feels the pain because it brings back to him the pain of the present. The pain of the present he's experiencing, he's also reliving from the past. So the verb saying in Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities right now, because he feels a present pain from our pain, as our present pain brings back the pain also that he felt and when he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So this is all to say that when the Lord touched the leper, he felt pain. It cost him something. It's the same way with the woman. He felt this draining with this woman of the issue of blood in Luke 8:43. A woman having the issue of blood 12 years would spend all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Well, that never happens today, so anyway. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched, whatever. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and the other that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Someone hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." So when the woman touched the Lord, there was a certain outflow, there was a certain pain, there was a certain emptying that the Lord felt when he said in Luke 8:46, "I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Actually, the Greek word there, this translated virtue, is the same word dunamis. Dunamis, which is where we get our name, our word dynamite from. Another place where this word dunamis appears is in Romans 1:16, which says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's the dunamis, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So this word dunamis means power. So when the woman touched the Lord, the Lord felt the pain of power going out of from him. When the Lord touched the leper, the Lord felt the pain of power, whatever, going out from him. It costs the Lord. And this shows how the Lord Jesus takes away what hurts us. The Lord Jesus takes away the sin that hurts us by himself becoming the sin offering for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So again, we go back to John the Baptist. He sees Jesus the first time. John 1:29, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He takes away the sin of the world by being made a sin offering for us. The Lord Jesus takes away the punishment of sin by becoming the punished person for our sins. In Isaiah 53:5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed." The Lord Jesus takes away our suffering from being excluded from God by himself suffering and being excluded from God, which happened on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But as is emphasized in 1 Peter 3:18, which says, "Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." He removed us, the Lord Jesus removed us, or delivered us from being on death row, the judgment of our offenses, by himself being delivered for our offenses in Romans 4:25, "Who was delivered for our offenses, was raised again for our justification." He delivered us from being a curse by himself becoming a curse for us. In Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." He delivers us from death for our sins by himself dying for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins. So this is how the Lord fulfills his calling that was laid out for him at his birth. This is the reason why his name was Jesus in Matthew 1:21, when it was explained, she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And what we're talking about here is how the Lord saves his people from their sins. He becomes the one who endures and suffers what we deserve to save us. So when we read here that the Lord touched the leper, we know that that touch hurt the Lord. It cost him. Of all the miracles to start off with after the Sermon on the Mount, this cleansing of the leper by a touch from the Lord is significant because, again, it brings to mind here that this cleansing is available to anyone who comes in contact with Jehovah Jesus. Now, I just said who comes in contact with Jehovah Jesus, and the leper was physically touched by the Lord with his help, and that might discourage others who think, well, that leper was in direct contact with the Lord Jesus, but where does that leave me? I'm not in direct contact, physical contact with the Lord Jesus. And just to address that discouragement, then the next miracle is put there for us of the servant who's healed just by the word, not the physical touch. All we need to be helped is to make contact with the Lord Jesus in prayer and the Lord Jesus just to speak a word for our help. Now, this is very important to see also, this leper was Jewish. This leper was Jewish. And you say, well, how do you know he's Jewish? Everybody was Jewish. You know, it's like when I was when I was growing up in Los Angeles, all my friends, I didn't know anybody wasn't Jewish. And so if I said to some of my friends, are you Jewish? They look at me and they say, of course, what else? You know? Anyway, so the leper was Jewish. And again, not to discourage the Gentiles, the next miracle was done for a Gentile. So, but the great encouragement here is that a person who feels hopeless, like leper, a person who feels desperate, you know, you think about leprosy, and you look back in the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, there's no remedy in the Hebrew scriptures for a leper. There's no instructions on how the leper should be cleansed and healed. There's none of that. The scriptures only provided instructions for how to identify leprosy, how to banish the leper from the community, how to protect the community from the leper. No instructions on how to be rid of leprosy. Leprosy left the person hopeless and desperate. No priest could say the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 8:3, I will be thou clean. So in this first miracle, after his teaching, the Lord Jesus healing the hopeless and the desperate, it shows that the Lord Jesus is the remedy for that. Okay, now, there were many people in this crowd. You know, especially we also think about the woman, and Peter says, so many people here, what are you talking about? Who touched you? There are many people in this crowd also where the leopard was, but for that time, that moment in time, it was like there was only two persons there, just the leper and the Lord. It was like they were all alone as the Lord spoke only to the leper, and the leper spoke only to the Lord. The leper was not looking around and saying, what do you think? Well, you know, excuse me. He only spoke to the Lord like he was the only one there at the Lord. That's a picture. That's a picture of the leper in the middle of a crowd and having such a personal conversation with the Lord as if they were the only two persons among many people. You know, we might be in a church where lots of people are, and then all of a sudden the Lord speaks to us, and as he speaks to us, we're in prayer, he speaks to us as if the Lord speaks to us, and we feel like we're the only two persons in this place, just me and the Lord. This is what happened to Paul. Paul in Acts 22:6, it came to pass that as I made my journey, Paul speaking, as I made my journey was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I answered, Who art thou, Lord? He said unto me, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So there were others with Paul on this road to Damascus when the Lord spoke to Paul, but only Paul heard the voice. Only Paul heard the verse. Now, again, we keep thinking back of this. He touched him. It's quite a shock. The Lord could have done what the centurion said to do in verse 8. Speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. He could have just spoken the word to the leper, and he would have been healed. But he didn't do that. He could have stopped in verse 3 when he said, I will be thou healed. He could have just stopped after the first part. He didn't have to go on to say, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. And as we said, after all, no one should touch a leper. But he chose to touch the leper. He chose to touch him for maybe two reasons. First, he wanted to show, as we mentioned, that healing comes as a transfer of the Lord's goodness to the person in need. And the message of the healing of this leper is that the Lord is not only able to heal a person from leprosy of the body, but he's also able to heal a person from the deeper leprosy, as we mentioned, the picture of sin, the leprosy of the soul. Now he's done that. In verse 4, he comes now, and he gives instructions to this man. Very, very, very surprising instructions. You wouldn't expect this. Verse 4, Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man. Go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. See, for a testimony unto them. Mark 1:44 is the parallel passage. It says there that he said, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. Now, the Lord is very specific here when he says, don't say anything to any person. Just let people see. And as they see, let that speak to them. In essence, is what he's saying. I want people to come to their own conclusion. You know, you get this when the Lord was conversing with Pilate in John 18:33. Where it says, Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? The Lord was very concerned. The issue was that each person should reach their own personal conclusion. And this is what he's addressing here. And with Pilate, says, I'm not interested if someone told you that and you're saying that. I'm interested in if you yourself have come to that conclusion that I'm the king of the Jews. And so this is an issue with the Lord. So he tells this person, the cleansed leper, don't say anything to any man. Just go. Because he wants to see people see what's happened and have that thought percolate down through their minds so that they come to their own convictions. And this was, the Lord was very interested in this. And so therefore in Mark 8:26, it says, he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell any to the town. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. He charged them that they should tell no man of him. So it's all about each person coming to their own personal conviction and conclusion for themselves as to who Jesus is. So this command was given specifically, and it's important again, to the Jewish people. Because, why? Because they knew about who their Messiah was to be, because they have the scriptures. What advantage then hath the Jew? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, from Romans. So they had the scriptures, and he was holding them responsible and accountable for the knowledge that they had of the scriptures that told who the Messiah was going to be. And so, what scriptures are we talking about? For example, Isaiah 35:4. Say to them that are a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man will leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. This was a prediction about the Messiah, that he was going to heal the blind, he was going to heal the deaf, he was going to make the lame to walk and the dumb to speak. And he wanted the Jewish people who knew the scriptures, he wanted the Jewish people to put two and two together and to realize from the scriptures that Jesus was their Messiah. That's what he wanted. So he didn't want people going around broadcasting, he's the Messiah. He didn't want that. He wanted people to come to their own decision. On the other hand, we have the Gentiles who are outside of Israel and that they didn't have the scriptures. And so, but he wanted them also to put two and two together, but they didn't have the scriptures. So his directive for them was totally the opposite. And this we get from the possessed Gentile Gadarene that was healed. And he told this person, this healed Gentile, a complete opposite course of what he told the Jewish people. He says in Mark 5:15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and have the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told how it befell to them that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for you, and hath compassion on thee. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. So he knew that the Lord was the same Jesus. So you see here we have two opposite directives to two different groups of people, one with the scriptures, the Jewish people, and one without. The leper came to the Lord Jesus because he saw that Jesus was God, and the Lord is looking for those also who will come to their own conclusion themselves and come like this leper did in with their own personal conviction. It's all about a person individually coming to the Lord Jesus, realizing who he was. And last, in verse 4, he goes on and he says, show thyself to the priest for a testimony unto them. So we're not just talking about fulfilling the law here, that he should go and make the offerings here, but we're talking about the Lord wanting a testimony to the priests of what he had done. And when we see that, then we see that when the Lord said to the leper that he healed, that he should show himself to the priest for a testimony, that we can see how the Lord was hoping for the priest to realize that there was hope for his desperate and hopeless situation of being without the Messiah. So all this shows how the Lord had a heart not just for the lepers, but the Lord also had a heart for the priests and wanted them to be saved also. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for wonderful son that you have. And thank you, Lord, that when he came, he did this wonderful healing of this leper by touching him, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, how you were willing to let yourself be drained out for the salvation of sinners. In Jesus' name, amen.
Another wonderful day studying the Bible with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor, here on Friendship with God. Don't forget that today's message and previous messages can be listened to and downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org, friendshipwithgod.org. You can also go online to find free resources from Tom Cantor and our online bookstore at friendshipwithgod.org. You can also find Tom Cantor on Facebook, and you can also go to friendshipwithgod.org and sign up for his daily devotional. Tom Cantor is also the founder of Israel Restoration Ministries. You can visit that website at israelrestorationministries.org. You can write to Tom Cantor at P.O. Box 711330, P.O. Box 711330, Santee, California, Santee, California, 92071. Or email Tom Cantor at tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org, tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org. Or for more information about Tom Cantor and Friendship with God and Israel Restoration Ministries, call us at 800-247-3051. What are you doing Sunday nights? Join Friendship with God radio Bible teacher Tom Cantor of the Friendship with God Fellowship Church every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. at the Creation and Earth History Museum in Santee, California. Watch and listen live around the world to Tom Cantor Sunday evening on YouTube.com by searching for the Friendship with God Fellowship or by going to our homepage at friendshipwithgod.org.